Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to the book of Job this morning. The book of Job. We'll read a few verses there, and then we will turn to the book of Proverbs. I want you to turn with me to the book of Job, chapter number 12. Job, chapter number 12. When you get to chapter number 12, you will find that Job has been through some terrible things, and he has his, quote, friends show up and to give him counsel, and they have only criticized him over and over that he is responsible for everything that's going on in his life. And I love his sarcasm. I guess maybe that's why I like Job a little bit. But in chapter 12, verse number 1, he says to his counselors, his friends, he said in chapter 12, verse 1, and Job answered and said, no doubt, but you are the people. You're it. And he said, and wisdom shall die with you. How about that word of sarcasm for it? And he goes on to say in verse 8, but I have understanding as well as you. And I am not inferior to you. He said, yea, who knoweth not such things as these? Now, for sake of time, I just had to mention his sarcasm, but I want to mention his seriousness down in verse number 7. Where I want to take our text from and then go over to the book of Proverbs. The Bible says, and he's saying this to these men, about how that God speaks to men, how that God teaches men, how he can instruct them and give them wisdom. That is not always by instruction from someone who perceives themselves to be exceedingly wise. You'll notice here in verse number 7, you can gain much wisdom from observation. The Bible says in verse 7, but ask now, the beast, and they shall teach you, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? Now, as we read these scriptures, I find that God says here, through Job, the earth itself, nature, and its creatures are set before us by our Creator to teach us wisdom, to speak to our hearts. Now, I will have to say this, that we've got to be teachable, number one, because two of us can sit through the same situation and one of us can learn and the other one does not. One is teachable and the other one is not. But if we are teachable, guess what? We are changeable. Do you want to change? Do you want to get better? Do you want to get stronger? Then you have to be teachable. If you keep doing the same old thing over and over, the chances of anything changing are very slim. So if we are teachable, we are changeable. And when you are changeable, in God's hand, you become usable for His glory and profitable to us. So when he says here that the creatures, these animals, these beasts, he uses the word teach, he uses the word tell, he uses the word declare. So God has put these things before us. Because remember, there hasn't always been scriptures that you could hold in your hand. There hasn't always been Bibles that you could open up and read from. And so God has had some of His principles and His laws and His wisdom out before us so that if we would observe, the Lord could teach us some things. So I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 27. You know, did you know in your Bible that the Holy Spirit mentions over 120 various creatures? And God has granted to Solomon wisdom from above. Now, before you say, yeah, but you know how he turned out at his end, I need you to understand something. The book of Proverbs is not the wisdom of Solomon, it is the wisdom of God. God granted him some insight on some things. It's one thing for God to show you and I something. It's another thing for you and I to hold on to it, apply it, and do something with it. But God granted to Solomon wisdom from above. His Proverbs, those short statements, very, very pregnant with godly wisdom, warnings, and principles. I've encouraged you to read Proverbs every day. I hope that you still do. There's so much in it. Solomon believed that creatures could teach us. And he mentions quite a few, and I'm just going to hit just a couple of them, then we're going to move to our verse. He mentions, like, for example, a dog can teach you something. For example, how to mind your own business. He said, don't get involved in a fight or strife that doesn't belong to you, because he said it's like taking a dog by the ears. Have you ever taken a dog by the ears and squeezed him a little bit? How did that dog react? Did he lick you in the face? I remember as a boy that I got down in a German Shepherd's face one time, messed with him, and he let me know he didn't appreciate it immediately. I never did that again. But you know, the Bible also says about a dog that a fool will return to his folly, like a dog will return to his vomit. That's why God sometimes calls Gentiles dogs and sodomites dogs. Then there is the ass, the donkey, the mule. Have you ever heard anybody say he is stubborn as a mule? Have you ever heard anybody say he's dumber than an ox? Comes from the book of Proverbs and the Bible. You know what that is? That's a man who can't be taught. That's a man who cannot receive correction. That's a man who cannot receive instruction. He will be dumber than an ox. He'll be like a beast. How about that serpent? Now, personally, I think that any snake needs to be a dead snake. You say, well, wait a minute. Some of them are good. I am not going to take the time to check the VIN number on a snake before I kill it. And he may not hurt me, but he'll cause me to hurt myself. Snakes. But the Bible says you can learn about a snake because why? They're subtle. They'll sneak around. They're always hiding in the path. The Bible says that a man who is on the move trying to seduce a woman is like a serpent upon a rock. That is very difficult to prove what he's up to, because he leaves no trail and no tracks. Like a serpent upon a rock. Subtle, hard to catch, and hard to prove. Solomon said there were four creatures that were exceedingly wise. Now me, I'm seeking wisdom. I want the wisdom of God. I need the wisdom of God as a father, as a husband, as a grandfather, as a father-in-law, as a brother, as a pastor, as a citizen. Man, there are just so many areas that I need the wisdom of God in. So when he says these creatures are exceedingly wise, my antenna goes up. And he talks about those four creatures over there. Talks about the ant. Now we had to put some ant poison out this week because they're invading. Because of all the rain, they're starting to invade and trying to find their way into our house. But usually where we find one, there's another. And another, and another, and another. They're up to something. And the book of Proverbs says they will teach you something. They'll teach you about preparation for the future. They'll teach you about organization. They'll show a young man how to show initiative if he wants to accomplish something. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Do not be a lover of sleep. If you want to accomplish something, have something, you can't walk around in a daze throughout the day. You can't do that. Your boss is not going to spend time trying to wake you up to do your job. You'll be looking for another job. The ant. Then there is that coney or the rabbit who knows its limitations. It stays close to its protection. It knows it, the value of fortification. It stays close to the brush pile. It stays close to the rock. That teaches us that you and I need to understand that we have limitations, that we need protection, and let's stay close to it. And then there is that locust, exceedingly wise. The locust does not travel alone. That locust understands the wisdom of cooperation and the power of synergy, of unity, and how that when you put everybody together, you can accomplish what one or two cannot. So it is with the body of Christ. Then there is, I think, of the four creatures, the one that I think inspires me the most is the spider. Now, I don't like spiders, but they teach me something. A spider has aspirations. They want to build something. They're not interested. You don't see a spider tearing down a spider web. You see a spider always building, always progressing. And you'll find them in corners of buildings or outside. And the thing about a spider is you can take that spider web and take its web down with a broom. But when you come back the next day, it's there again. You sweep it again, it's there again the next day. That spider is determined. And in spite of setbacks and disappointments and obstacles and adversity, you're not going to stop it. You know what you have to do to stop a spider? You have to kill it. And I want to have that same determination in serving God. That in spite of setbacks, disappointments, adversities, I am determined. I am resolved. My heart is fixed. I want to serve the Lord until I die. But I want you to look in Proverbs 27:8. The Holy Spirit pressed this verse upon my heart this week. And as I began to dig into it, I thought I was stepping into a small stream that's about ankle deep. And the deeper I got into it, I felt like I was swimming in the ocean. In chapter 27 and verse number 8, I want to talk about this creature. The Bible says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. The Bible says here that we are to learn, obviously, that this bird is making a mistake. The bird is wandering from her nest. It's amazing how the Lord is using this female bird to teach a human male some responsibility here and danger. Now watch, what can we learn from this? Well, we can learn a lot from this if we're teachable. You'll notice it says in verse number 8, it says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest. That's a mother bird. It's her nest, which means she built it. Proverbs 14 says, a wise woman builds her house. A foolish woman plucks it down with her own hands. So this bird has built her a nest. And her mistake is that she is wandering. She's leaving her place of commitment and responsibility. She was designed by her Creator to build, to feed, and protect her little ones. You know, the Lord often used female creatures to give us some wisdom because there is something about a mama that's different. Her emotions. I think about that passage where it says, and he uses an animal to explain it to us. He said, let a bear robbed of her whelps, meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. And what he means by that is that you don't really want to be a fool and reap the consequences of your bad decisions no more than you want to mess with a mama bear's cubs. And if you mess with her cubs, she's going to come after you and she's going to kill you. Because God has divinely designed this innate nature in her to protect those babies. A bird, this particular bird has been designed by God to build and protect. There's something about these animals that can teach you some things. You know, have you ever messed with a mother hen? I look back in the past and say, if I was talking to a psychiatrist or a psychologist and they would ask me, have you ever been traumatized? I say, yeah. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I messed with a mother chick's hens. I mean, babies. A mother hen, babies. And I was just wanting to play with the chicks. And then all of a sudden, here come this mama hen with her claws and her wings, and she's coming at me. And it terrorized me. It traumatized me. Oh, but it taught me. I didn't do it ever again. You know what Jesus said that about Jerusalem? That he wanted to gather them up like a mother hen would gather her chicks. Jesus understood that illustration. They understood that illustration. Like a mama. This thing about a mama bird. When I was 15 years of age, my uncle asked me if I would like a job. And I said, yes, sir. And so he got me a job on the farm. He worked on a farm about 700 or 800 acres of soybeans and cotton. He said, all right, I'm going to teach you how to drive this tractor. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to drive it all day. I want you to plow this field. I want you to do this and this. And I said, yes, sir. I was excited about it. So I had to go to work at 7 in the morning. We got off about 7 in the evening, 6 o'clock. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed learning how to work, how to make it through the day and through the hard places as a young man. And I was thankful for that opportunity. But I experienced something that I haven't forgotten about a bird while I was plowing one day. I was in the soybean field, and I'd been plowing that field most of the day, and I came upon, right after lunch, I went out back into the field to start plowing again, and when I come upon this area, there was a, above the diesel tractor that I was running, and the noise of the tractor and the plowing, I could hear something screaming. And so I stopped and I looked out there in front of my tractor, and there was a bird, a mama bird. And she had her wings spread out and she was dancing, and she wasn't dancing to entertain. She was screaming. It was a killdeer. It was a bird that lays their nests in fields. And she had some, I know that she had some babies nearby. And she wasn't leaving her nest. She was going to stay there. And I'm telling you, I felt so, matter of fact, I was afraid to go forward with the tractor. I thought she was going to attack me. But I had no choice. I had to continue on. She eventually had to get out of the way. But I saw in her what Proverbs is talking about, how that a mother, a bird, will protect her babies at all cost if she stays in her place. If she stays in her place by divine design. Now, we could go, there are so many areas and layers of this that we could go to, but I like to simplify it and focus upon our place in creation. And then maybe we can go on then next to our place inside the New Testament church. But let's talk about the divine design of our Creator for us. All right? Now, you'll notice that when the bird begins to wander. Now, I want you to think about that word wander. Why would a bird begin to wander away from its nest? Why does a woman sometimes begin to wander away from her home? Or why does a man begin to wander away from his home? Usually it's because somewhere along the line there's some discontentment. and you're not satisfied with status quo, but you're not willing to stay in your place and make a change, you'd rather move on. I'm not saying there's never a time to move on. That's not what I mean by that. I'm saying that you need to be careful, like Eve in the garden. You understand, Eve in the garden, there she was in a place, and the adversary came along and planted a seed of doubt in her mind and put some discontentment in her soul as if there's a life better than this. And she accepted that and began to question God's word and God's divine design. And oh my, I'm telling you, if all of us in here would just have a little faith in God and believe that God knew what he was doing when he made us male and female, and how that God divinely designed us for our place, gave each one of us responsibilities, and that if we would just exercise that and stay in our place, man, God would bless us and we would be a blessing to those with whom we are around. When this breaks down, society breaks down and the church breaks down. Now you'll notice here in our passage, it's her nest, it's her place, it's his place. When you move away from, when she moved away from her nest, what did she expose herself to? Well, the Bible refers in the book of Proverbs about fowlers. That's people who were looking for that bird to get away from the nest. That means you expose yourself to snares and predators. When you get away from your place as a woman, when you get away from your place as a man, you're exposing yourself to some unknown snares and traps that are being laid for you. And there are going to be predators. There's going to be loose women that'll be prepared for you, and there will be loose men that'll be prepared for you to ensnare you and destroy you. And sometimes you just simply cannot go back once that occurs. That just, it'll never be the same. That's just the way it is. But I want you to consider that. It implies discontentment with God's divine design. And by the way, if you are very discontented with God's design for you, your problem is not with your husband, and it's not with your wife, and it's not with your mother and your father. It is with God. It implies doubt in the Creator's wisdom and purpose for you in this life. So I want you to consider this. But I want to talk primarily, first of all, and most heavily, to the men. I want you to notice in this passage, it says in verse number 8, it says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Wouldn't you think it'd be fair for me to ask then, when I read that, what is my place? Now that word place can be a location geographically, but I could be geographically in the right place in my position and be in the wrong place here in my disposition with God. You ever heard anybody say, I just feel out of place? I just can't find my place? Can I help you this morning with that? The Bible says here, I want to speak again specifically to our men. Did you know, what is a man's place? This takes as much faith for our women as it does our men. That a woman needs to understand a man's place as much as a man needs to understand his place. And she should pray for him that he would remain in his place. And help him stay in his place. Not try to take his place. As Solomon was writing these passages of scripture, I remember his dad telling him at his dad's deathbed, he called his son in and said, son, he said, one of the first things I want to tell you is I want you to show yourself to be a man. I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to guess. I want you to show yourself to be a man. Paul said to you and I in the New Testament, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Be strong. Men are to be strong. Men are to be masculine. They are, masculinity is not toxic. Except for those who cannot remain in their place. Toxic masculinity. We did not defend ourselves against the enemy by being feminine. When men wander, should I say, out of their place, everything breaks down. You know what I'm counting on in this church is that you would stay in your place as a man. It breaks down in our homes. It breaks down in our church. It breaks down in society. And it breeds confusion and contention. Because when somebody steps out of place, somebody else is going to step into place. No vacuum. And there are many times in the Old Testament that women have had to step up into a man's place because the man left his place. And some men leave their place and the woman has to carry on. Some of you have had to carry on. And I thank God for your faithfulness. Let me say this, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And He wants things to be done decently and in order. That's why Paul said to Titus, for this cause I left you in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. In order. The things that are wanting or lacking. So what did he do? He went there looking for some men that he could put in place that would remain in their place. Here's a novel thought. For things to be set in order, somebody's got to be given the orders. Who is going to determine what's orderly? Is it not our Creator, our divine designer, that He knows what makes a good marriage, what makes a good home, what makes a good business, what makes a good church? It's as if He is smarter than we are. What do you think about that? The Bible says, cease from thine own wisdom. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust the Lord because, listen, you are growing up in a public school system that is not educating you but indoctrinating you. To be discontent with how God made you and the role that you feel in this world and in society. To where that you don't know what you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to do. And when boys are aggressive, they're punished. Boys are built to be aggressive. God made them to be warriors. God made them to lead. God made them to be protectors and providers. God divine. You don't have to apologize for that. You know, if I'm going to remain in my place, I can't listen to every voice that comes my way. Whether it be a Karen or a Ken, I cannot listen to everybody's opinion. You say, well, you're just being stubborn. There's a difference between standing on righteousness and being stubborn. Being stubborn is being self-willed, but standing is being God-willed. And there's a big difference. I remember when Paul went down to Antioch and he was seeing what was going on when Peter moved out of his place. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the church. And by the influence and the impact of others and the opinions of others. And Paul stepped in and he said, you know what? He said, I will not give place by subjection to false brethren, no, not for an hour. Amen. In other words, okay, that's your belief, that's your opinion, but you're not changing my mind. Because I know what the Bible says, that I'm standing on the truth. So you think about that now, that sometimes people assume places that are not theirs. I remember Uzziah being a great king for a while, and he was marvelously hip, and he was strong. He got discontented, and he was a good leader, by the way, a great warrior. He brought out many inventions to help his country fight the enemy. Great military strategist, a good man. But he got discontented with his position as king, and his leadership qualities didn't satisfy him. Everything that he was accomplishing was not satisfying to him. So he began to wander out of his place, and he said, you know what? I'd like to be where that priest is. I think I'm going to step over into that. Which was forbidden from the Word of God. He crossed the line. What happened to him? Well, he wound up with leprosy. It damaged him, and it damaged his family, because he just couldn't be satisfied and content in his place. Even though God had richly blessed him. Some men you can't satisfy. They're never happy. They're driven by personal ego and ambition, not the will of God. David said, Lord, my heart is not haughty. Is yours? He said, mine eyes, nor are mine eyes lofty. He said, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. David knew how to stay in place. You know what? The result of that was he quit whining. You hear somebody whining, they're discontented. What is my place? I'm glad you asked. The Creator's order. Some people have a very difficult time staying in their place. Now, I'm glad to read the Bible to realize it's not just us, because the Bible says the angels could not even, some of the angels did not even stay in their first estate. They left their purpose and their divine design and rebelled. Please listen carefully to me as I give you something from the Bible. If you ask for the references, you want to discuss it, we'll do it later at your convenience. Listen carefully to this. The Bible says that the head of every man is Christ. My place, this is where I know one of my places. It is underneath the headship of Christ. It is underneath the lordship of Jesus. That's my place under my Creator. I acknowledge that He is the Creator and I am the creature. Do you agree with that? He is the potter and I'm the clay. He is the master. I'm the servant. He's the father. I'm the son. He's the shepherd and I'm the sheep. I know my place. I don't want to wander from that. I do not. Now listen carefully. Men, Christ is your head. Stay underneath His lordship, His headship. The Bible says also, the head of the woman is the man. So fellas, you are under the lordship of Christ and over the lordship of your wife. You will not do well in your lordship over your wife if you are not submitting yourself to the lordship of Christ. And if you want to lead better, follow better. And if you want her to submit, you follow by an example in submission. A God-given responsibility to a man is to provide for his family, to protect his family, but also, Brother Brad, to project to his family Jesus Christ, who loved his bride so much he was willing to give himself for that. People are afraid of the will of God because the world has done a good job of convincing them they're going to be robbed of something. That's what he did to Eve. Oh, preacher, if I yield to Christ, there's no telling what he's going to ask me to do. Preacher, if I submit myself to my husband and his authority, there's no telling what I may miss in life. Preacher, if I submit to my parents, I may never be what I could have been. All of this is seeds of discontentment and doubt that God did not know what he was doing when he designed this. I want you to stay focused this morning on the head, the Lord, who being our rock, our refuge, that we would follow him, and that God made the man and God made the woman. Did you know? God made man in his image for himself. If you read your Bible, God made woman for the man. It's a creator's order. A woman has the capability, if she stays in her nest, to complete that man, to comfort him, to be a crown to him, that he would not be nervous by taking her somewhere in public or around other people. She's not going to humiliate him, embarrass him, correct him, answer for him when somebody asks a question. The average banker, a couple sits down at the table, starts asking questions. They look at the woman these days. A good woman would look at her and said, you need to ask him. And if he sits there and says, duh, then, fellas, at least defer to her and say, you know what? My good wife has got all this together. She's an excellent bookkeeper, and she's got that information, and I'm going to defer that to her. That's how you honor each other in that situation. But your responsibility in your place, in your nest, is to cheer him on, not tear him down. Build him up. Build him up. Men are built by the hand of God, egotistical. God is built by the hand of God to the woman, emotional. It dominates our nature. It's not that we're without emotion, and it's not that you're without ego. It's what dominates us. And God has given that woman to encourage, to comfort, to cheer him on. There is a reason why sports teams have cheerleaders. And in the old days, they were all female. Because there's something about a female's voice that gets a man's ego going. And it can go up or it can go down, depending on what kind of voice that is. But he fights the world, the flesh, and the devil all day long at work, looking forward to coming home to somebody that believes in him just a little bit. And that will comfort him with soft words. And a good meal. You know, you say, well, Brother Roger, I'm a young lady and I'm not married, so where'd I fit in this? And what if I don't ever get married? Oh, well, then be Lydia. Man, get you a business and build some wealth and take care of missionaries and take care of some people in the church and just be a blessing. There's places for single men. There's places on the mission field for single men. There's places on in the church of God for single women. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 7 says, you probably could do better if you were single. He said, if you get married, you're going to have some trouble. Because you'll be committed. You don't have all the time. If you're single, you got more time than anybody does. Well, not everybody, but some people. Do you understand here? We're talking about what God has designed. Are y'all still with me? Okay, give me just a couple more minutes here, and I want to really nail this down here to you. I want to simplify it today. I want to be in my place. I told my Heavenly Father this morning, but I just don't want to leave my place. And I'm not talking about New Caney. I don't care. When I moved here from Louisiana 30 years ago, several preachers said, how do you like Texas? Well, number one, I love Texas. I said, but I don't care if it's palmettos or pine trees. I don't care. As long as I am in the will of God. That's all I want. Because I can be in New Caney where I'm supposed to be, and if I don't maintain my place with Him, I can still be out of place with the Lord. I hope that makes sense to you. Because sometimes being in your place is also a state of mind, condition of the heart. Your feet can be here, but your heart's not. You can even park your car in your driveway but not bring your heart inside that house. You have already begun to leave your place. So what we're talking about here is what Robert Robinson said in a song that he wrote back in the 18th century at the age of 22. After his observation of watching believers' tendency to wander off from their place and wobble in their faith, he wrote this song. He said, oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Amen. Then he wrote, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God that I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. For me to stay in my place, I'm telling you what I need. I need a secret place. I need a private place where I can get alone with God. He said, get away from everybody, turn that phone off, put that phone over yonder, come over here and get in a closet with me. I'm not talking about you got a place that the only place you can go to that you think that's a special place. I'm talking about a private place, a closet, where that you in that place, I've got to have it, where I can pour my heart out to God. I mean pour it out to Him. It's the only way I can stay in my place. As a husband of 48 years. As a pastor for 46 years. The only way is to have a private place where I can pour my heart out to God. But I also need a safe place where God is my refuge when I am afraid and circumstances come against me and are overwhelming. I know that I can go to Him. I know that. Would you turn, look in Jeremiah, you're in Proverbs. Let me show you a couple of verses and we're going to pray and go to the house. Jeremiah 17, I desire this with all my heart. I want to thank you men. Many of you men in here, our church is where it is today because many of you men have chosen to show yourselves to be men and to lead your families and to stay in your place. Even when things are not easy, you have stayed in your place. What a blessing it is to drive up. We'll talk about that again some more in another service. I don't want to get off track here about the church. I want to just say I thank God for many of you, dear men and ladies. When it has not been easy. Look at Jeremiah 17. I want this, Brother Brian, right here. Look in verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart. What's the next word? Now that means you're leaving your place. You're wandering from your place. Your heart is departing from the Lord. What does he mean by that? It means you're not trusting him. Amen. Verse 6. He said, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. He's not going to have the privilege of reaping some good things because he left his place. There's some benefits to staying in your nest and your place, even when it's difficult. Mom, one thing I always appreciated about my mother, who was not well educated, but I knew when I got off that school bus, I knew Mom was going to be at the house. I knew that. I knew my dad was going to be there. Brought me great security. I want you to look in verse 7. Here's what I want. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Here's what I want. Because I want to be in a safe place where God can protect me. And when I say safe place, it doesn't mean storms do not beat against the windows. It doesn't mean the water doesn't rise. But I know that if in God's will, I know he'll get me through it. I'd rather be in the lion's den in God's will. I'd rather be in the fiery furnace in God's will. And he says here in verse 8, that person, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that produces stability, and that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green. That means some durability. And that means that you stay in your place. And it means that in the dry times, God is still giving you something personally. It says, and shall not be careful. That means full of anxiety and stress and distress. Shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, Brother Lorne, now, Brother Dwayne, I love you men. Thank God for you, for you being in your place as your pastor. I want to continue to stay in my place so that when you bump into me, you ask me a question, you come to church, we hang around each other, that there'll be some fruit hanging off of my life that you could get that would help you in your growth and in your faith. And it says here that here's the thing about it. If your heart departs from trust in God, it's going to be hard for God to use you to benefit others. Where's your heart at right now? Can God use you to be a blessing? I've told you this before, but it bears repeating. Those of you who have fruit trees, fruit is not for the tree. It is for those who come by the tree. I want people to be able to come by my life and get something. A word fitly spoken. Some encouragement. I want you to be able to say, I need to talk to Brother Roger. I want my children to be able to say, I need to talk to Dad. I want my grandchildren to be able to say, I need to talk to Papa. And I want them to be able to get good fruit. Amen. Good water. Right. Not bitter water. Right. Good fruit. That cannot happen if you move out of your place. Men, here's something that I think about when I think about I get discouraged, quitting. All those things that come with the battle of life, home, church, business, whatever. It helps me so much to stay in my place if I can go back to the cross and I think about someone who stayed in his place on the cross. And the Bible says that he went to the place called Calvary. He went to the place called Golgotha. That was his place. That was God the Father's place for his Son. And in the garden, he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this," you might say, I'm paraphrasing, "this place pass from me." He said, "Nevertheless, not mine, but yours be done." And so he yielded himself to that place. And when I look at him yielding himself to the... Here's the thing about it. You got to trust God, because here's that door, and you can't see what's on the other side, but that door says, "the Father's will." And he's saying, "I want you to say yes to that," not knowing what's on the other side. And the Bible does say in the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus, with fear and strong crying, wept to the Father. And the Bible says it is by his faith. His faith stepped through that door because he wanted to do the Father's will. Amen. Now, I'm going to trust God that he knows whatever's on the other side, I want to be on that side in the Father's will. But I have to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and thank God that when he hung on the tree, Brother Brian, you know what they said to him? Do you remember what some of them said on the ground? "Why don't you come down? Why don't you come down and prove to us you're the Son of God?" You know what he did? He stayed place in his place. And if you stay in your place, you might suffer a little bit, but you'll be a blessing to others. And Dad, it's going to get tough. Stay in your place. Your children will be blessed because you stayed where you were supposed to. Do you understand? I want to thank God for my precious wife. I was thinking about this message for 48 years. And all of the things that we've gone through as pastor and pastor's wife, she has, her family when we were young, questioning my integrity, questioning my direction, questioning my decisions because it was contrary to some of their dead religion. She stayed right beside me. And she never questioned me. She said, "I'm with you. It's me and you against the world." I'm thankful for that. When I think about that, when I get thinking about moving out of my place, here's what I ask the Lord. I think about a song. That's where psalms and hymns and spiritual songs kick in. When I'm alone with God, the songwriter said, "Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me." Knowing that he stayed in his place helps me to stay in my place. Because he stayed in his place, I have a place. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also." I want to stay in my place because I want to bring my son with me. I want to bring my girls with me. I want to bring my grandchildren with me. I don't want Papa to move out of his place. The place is the will of God, wherever that is. Are you wandering from your place? As a young man thinking about marriage, your place Prepare yourself in the field. Then build your house. Show yourself to be a man that you can take care of yourself. Then you can take care of somebody else. You men, I pray that God would help you to stay in your place. Dear ladies, I'm asking you to trust God that you'll be what God designed you to be. Don't wander from your nest for your husband's sake and your children's sake. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed. If you're here this morning, one of the most important places you could ever find yourself to be is at a place where you have bowed your knee and called on the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. If you've not been there, we invite you to come to Him, knowing that He died for you, knowing that God raised Him from the dead, that you could be saved. If you're a child of God and you need to just draw near to God and get back to the place where your heart needs to be, I pray you would. Father, in Jesus' name, may your will be done in this invitation for Christ's sake. Cindy.